Parashas Truma, welcome and a good Chodesh to all as we begin Parashas Ador, Chodesh Ador, and together with it the Parashas of the construction of the Mishkan. We would like to look together, Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, at the Orin which was of course to be found in the Kodesh HaKodshim, in which the Luchos HaBris were placed. Upon the Orin, as we know, the Torah writes, Perek Chofei Posuk Yudches Va'osiso Shnaim Kruvim Zohov Miksha Ta'ase Oisam. You shall build two Kruvim, which as we know the Gemara tells us in Chagiga that Kruvim is a word that refers to Tinoik, to children. They have the faces as it were of a child, and these two are placed on top of the Orin. Or, to be more accurate, they weren't so much placed on top of the Aron, but rather, as the Torah writes, miksha, they were all one piece. So they were not a separate item that were then attached to the Aron. It was all constructed from one piece of gold, from which the Aron and the Kruvim were all constructed. So the first question that we'd like to pose, and this is asked by the Sefer Be'er Yosef al HaTorah, is what indeed is the significance of the fact that Kruvim denotes children. What was the remez? Everything, every item, every detail in the construction of the Mishkan was laden with meaning, layer upon layer. So we are entitled to ask, what does it mean that the Kruvim had the appearance of children? A second question, which the Sefer Be'er Yosef al HaTorah also asks, is if you look in the Psukim in the Novi, which discuss at great length in Sefer Melochim and then once again in Divrei HaYomim, it talks about the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash. And there too, of course, you had Oren and you had a Kruvim. But if you look at the Psukim, it says there that Shlomo HaMelech, when he constructed the Beis HaMikdash, in addition to the two Kruvim that found themselves upon the Oren, there were another two Kruvim, much, much larger in size in every dimension, that did not stand upon the Oren, but rather they were resting on the ground. They were resting on the ground, larger in size, much, much taller in every dimension, and they stood alongside the Orin. And of course, that question must be asked, why indeed was it necessary to create another two Kruvim? And what's the significance of the fact that there are now four Kruvim, two sets, one on top of the Orin, one next to the Orin? These are the two questions that Be'ezus Hashem we will try and answer in the words of the Be'er Yosef al HaTorah. The Be'er Yosef is a sefer that we have quoted a number of times. It was compiled by our Gaon Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Salant, who was one of the great Magidim in Yerushalayim about 100 years ago. His son was the one who published his work, and his son himself, till recently, actually lived in Yerushalayim. Al kol ponim v'ofen, in order to understand this subject, the two questions that we'd like to answer. Number one, what is the significance of the fact that the Kruvim looked like children? And number two, what was the idea that Shlomo HaMelech made another set of Kruvim that did not stand on the Orin, but rather on the ground next to the Orin? So in order to understand this, we need to quote a magnificent piece, a very important piece in the Nefesh HaChaim of Reb Chaim Volozhin. The Gemara in Bava Basra discusses where exactly, what direction were the Kruvim facing in the Beis HaMikdash? In the Beis HaMikdash. So there is a machloikas. And there is an opinion in the Gemara that says that actually the two Kruvim were facing each other. The other opinion in the Gemara is that no, they were actually facing the Beis HaMikdash away from each other. And the Gemara asks the obvious question. It's true that in our parasha it does say that the Kruvim were facing Upneihem Ish El Ochiv. They were facing one to each other. On the other hand, we cannot ignore a pasuk in Divrei HaYomim that says absolutely clearly that they were facing the Bais. So, whilst each opinion seems to have a pasuk that backs him up, because one pasuk suggests that the Kruvim were facing each other, the second pasuk suggests that they were facing the Beis HaMikdash, but either way you look at it, there's a contradiction in the pasukim. Where indeed were the Kruvim looking? What direction were they facing? Were they, as is described in our parasha, facing each other? Or as described in Divrei HaYomim, were they facing the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara says, well, one could say that when Klal Yisrael had a solid chibur with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kisha Oisin Ritzaynei Shel Mokoyim, when Klal Yisrael were being Shema Teir or Mitzvahs, that's when the Kruvim were facing each other. When, however, they were Eid Oisin Ritzaynei Shel Mokoyim, then that's when the Kruvim were not facing each other. They were facing away from each other. In other words, the two Kruvim represent the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. When indeed Klal Yisrael are facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, i.e. obeying His will, Oisin Ritzaynei Shel Mokoyim, Shemrei Torah or Mitzvahs, then that is reflected in the fact that the two Kruvim face each other. Upneihem ish el ochiv. When, however, they are not being Oisir Ritzaynei Shel Mokoyim, Klal Yisrael have opted to look otherwise, to look in a different direction to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, that's Upneihem el habois. They're no longer looking at each other. The Gemara then says a different explanation. According to the opinion that says that actually in the Beis HaMikdosh, they were facing away from each other. So how does you reconcile that with the fact that the Torah writes clearly in our parasha that they were facing each other? So he says the following, two words. De metzadeid atzadudi, which means that the kruvim that are mentioned in the Novi, meaning the ones in the Beis HaMikdosh, that the Novi describes as being facing the bayis, says the Gemara, they weren't actually facing completely away from each other. They were essentially facing each other, but mitzadeid atzadudi, they were veering away a little bit, such that, essentially, there is no contradiction in the psukim. Were the kruvim facing each other or facing away from each other? The answer is somewhere in between. They were basically facing each other, but mitzadeid atzadudi, they were veering off a little bit towards the sides. Which means, according to this opinion, if you were to enter the Beis HaMikdosh, as constructed by Shlomo HaMelech, as mentioned, there were two sets of kruvim. So, the kruvim upon the Oroin, those were facing each other. Upneihem ish el ochiv. But the additional set of kruvim constructed by Shlomo HaMelech, which were not on the Oroin, that were standing on the ground next to the Oroin, they were not quite facing each other, but they also weren't facing away, rather towards each other, although not exactly opposite. And Reb Chaim Volozhin is greatly troubled by this. If, after all, Moshe Rabbeinu in the Mishkan, in this week's parasha, he built the Kruvim absolutely facing each other, that's what the Torah writes, Pneim Ish El Ochiv. So why indeed did Shlomo HaMelech construct his additional Kruvim? Why were they almost facing each other, but not quite? Mitzadeid Atzadudi, they were slightly misaligned, as opposed to the Kruvim that were there alongside them on top of the Oroin, as constructed by Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were absolutely opposite each other. Why is that the case? So Rav Chaim Volozhin offers the most magnificent interpretation, a very yesoidistic mahal. This is based on a yesoid which we have mentioned in the past on more than one occasion. And this all goes back to the fundamental question of how is a person supposed to operate? How is he supposed to run his life? Is there a balance between learning Torah on the one hand and being Oisek in Paranossa on the other? Or should you be doing all of one or all of the other? What is the correct Mahalach? The question of all questions. How is a Yid supposed to live his life? So of course this is the famous Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachas Daf Lamed Hei Omed Beis that Rav Shimon ben Yochai says it cannot be that a person has got to go to work. Torah ma tehei oleho. A person's going to be choyresh bizman hacharisha, koitzer bizman haketzira, is going to be busy in the field all year round. Torah ma tehei oleho. Says Rav Shimon ben Yochai, therefore, if Klal Yisrael are being oisin rotzoinoi shel mokoyim, they will not need to work. They will find themselves in the Beis HaMedrash, yoimon volaylo, and what will happen with Parnosa? Malachton nasis alidei achirim. Parnosa will be provided by others, but not by them. When, however, Klal Yisrael are not being oisin rotzoinoi shel mokoyim, well, that's a different story. Then we look in Shema, and what does it say there? Va'osafta degonecho, and you will gather in your grain. Why are you gathering the grain? Why is this malacha not being done by others? And the answer is, this clearly must be referring to Klal Yisrael, Ein Oisin Ritzayne Shel Mokim. When they are not being Oisin Ritzayne Shel Mokim, then they're not in their ideal state. Well, then they have to work for their own parnasa. That's Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's mahalach. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, if the Torah says, Vosafto de Gonecho, Hameig Bohen Minag Derech Eret. Clearly, the Torah is sanctioning to be Oisik in Derech Eretz. What's Derech Eretz? To work the land. So we have a colossal machloikus over here. According to Rabbi Shmuel, what is the correct way that a Jew runs his life? Va'osafta degonecho, he's got to work for his paranossa. Rav Shimon ben Yochai seems to disagree vehemently and say that no, the ideal state is absolutely not va'osafta degonecho. The ideal state is Ashrei Yeshvei Veisecho. Shifti beveis Hashem, kol yimei chayei. What will be the parnasa? It will be provided by others. V'osafta degonecho, that's written in the Torah, is referring to the exception to the rule. But that's not the rule. That's referring to a time when ein oisin ritzonoi shomok. What does the Gemara conclude? Omar Abaya. There were many who did like Rabbi Yishmael, meaning they were oisik in parnasa, v'olso b'yodam, and they were matzliach. There were many who tried like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, however, and they were not matzliach. So what does that mean? This is a shaila, a machloikas lahalocha. So what is the psak? It's a very bizarre siyum to the Gemara. What's the maskana? Many did like Rabbi Shmuel and they were matzliach. Many did like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai when they were not matzliach. So what's the halocha? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? What's happening over here? So Rav Chaim Volozhin says the following. What does it mean that va'osafta de gonecho, says Rav Shimon ben Yochai, is referring to a period where ein oisin ritzayne shel mokim? How on earth can you suggest that that pasuk is referring to ein oisin ritzayne shel mokim? That pasuk is written in Shema. The first pasuk in that parasha is v'hoya im shomoya tishmuel mitzvaysai asher anoichi mitzava etzchem. And if you will listen to the mitzvahs, and then the Torah continues, v'osafta degonecho. So how can v'osafta degonecho possibly be referring to a time in which Klal Yisrael are not being oyster at Seine Shomokim? That pasuk was introduced with the words v'hoyo em shomoya tishmu, that they were listening. So clearly they are being oyster at Seine Shomokim. Says Reb Chaim Volozhin, and this, Rabbeisai, is the famous Yisoid. Make no mistake about it. When Rabbi Yishmael says v'osafta degonecho, he didn't mean abandon your Gemara. Hanheig bohen derech eretz. Bohen means intertwined with your limud Torah should be your Oisek in Paranasa. Even whilst you're being Oisek Paranasa, you're still involved in your learning. I remember when I was in Gated Yeshiva, one of my Rebbeim, Rabbi Israel Rosenbaum, Sheyizkeh L'Refuah Shleimah, used to tell us, do you think the difference between Yisocha and Zvulun is Yisocha's learning and Zvulun's working? That's not the difference, he used to tell us. Do you know what the difference is? The difference is that Yisocha is learning in the Beis HaMedrash, and Zevulun is working in the office. That's the difference. And that's exactly what Reb Chaim Volozhin is saying. Nobody is suggesting that we ever abandon Torah even for a moment. I may well have to go to the office and work, but I'm still kol machshavoisai, I'm thinking about learning. Reb Shimon ben Yochai didn't even allow that. No, there's no such thing as going to the office. If you're only oyster at Seinei Shal Mokoyim, there'll be no need to go to the office. You'll sit in the Beis HaMedrash, kol yimei chayai, and parnasa will be provided for by others. So, the machloikas is not as big as it sounds, but there certainly is a machloikas. According to Rav Shimon ben Yochai, when you're oyster at Seinei Shel Mokim, you'll be in the Beis HaMedrash 24 hours a day. Parnasa will be provided by others. Other than when ein oyster at Seinei Shel Mokim, then and only then, v'osafta degonecho. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel says, no, you've got to be Oisef Tadogon. You've got to work for your parnasa, albeit together with Divrei Torah. Together with Divrei Torah. Says Rav Chaim Volozhin, so what is the correct approach? There definitely is, after all, a machloika. So what's the correct approach? Harbe osu k'Rabbi Yishmael. Many people did like Rabbi Yishmael, which means they were Oisef Kim Parnasa and they were Matzliach. Says Rav Chaim Volozhin, do you know what that means? for the masses, for the Hamoyin Am, for the general populace, the halacha is like Rabbi Yishmael. Many did like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, and they were not matzliach. Do you know why? Because that's not an appropriate lifestyle for the many. It's only for Yechidei. That's the maskana of the... So what is the halacha? Why did the Gemara not conclude halacha ko Rabbi Yishmael or halacha ko Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai? And the answer is, because it depends who you're talking. For the Hamoyin Am, the general rule is like Rabbi Shmuel. Parnasa, intertwined, of course, with Divrei Torah. But for Yechidei Skula, like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Somebody who dedicates his life to learning, be'emuna u'bitochein, then he indeed can live a life of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, and Parnasa will be provided for by others. Says Rav Chaim Volozhin, most magnificently now, listen to this Ga'onus. V'hoyoim shomoya tishma'u. Tishma'u is the plural. So when the Torah says, and you will be listening to the mitzvahs. V'hoyoim shomoya tishma'u in the plural. What does that mean, listening to the mitzvahs? If it's talking in the plural, it's talking to the masses. How do the masses makayim mitzvahs? By being oisekim parnasa. That is a fulfillment of Rotzon Hashem. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from the masses. V'osafto degonecho is written in the singular. It doesn't say v'osaftim. So here the Torah is clearly not addressing the masses. Who's the Torah addressing? The Yechidim. Oh, the Yechidim. Why are the Yechidim gathering in grain? It must be Ein Oisin Ritzeinu Shomo. The question was asked, how can you say it's referring to Ein Oisin Ritzeinu Shomokim? But the introduction to that parasha is, V'hoyoim Shomoya Tishmu, and the answer is, it's talking to two different people. V'hoyoim Shomoya Tishmu in the plural, Asher Anoichi Mitzave Eschem, that's referring to the masses. They are being Oisin Ritzeinu Shomokim even whilst they go to their Paranasa. But for the Yochid, he should be in the base of Medrash. What's he doing? V'asafta de gonecho. Must be that he's ein oisim ritzeinu shomokim. Says Rav Chaim Volozhin, dovor niflo b'yosef. Come back now to the Kruvim. The Kruvim, as mentioned, represent the connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And essentially, the absolute ideal state is, of course, Panehem ish el ochiv. Absolutely facing each other, an inseparable link between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Says Rav Chaim Volozhin, what happened in the Midbar is not what happened at the time of Shlomo HaMelech. At the time of the Midbar, nobody was Oisek in Parnasa. There was Zecha to the Mon. There was no need to be Oisek in Parnasa. Everybody in the Midbar had the status of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. And if they had the status of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, then as far as they're concerned, oisin ratzayne shel mokay means what? Being loymed Torah. Only Torah. That is the absolute ideal. And that's why the Kruvim were facing each other. Then Klal Yisrael moved into Eretz Yisrael and they were no longer zoicha to the mon. And all of a sudden, ish tachas gafnoi, ish tachas teinosoi, they had to work the land. So the oisin ratzayne shel mokay is now changed. What is the new Oiser Ritzayne Shalmokim? At least for the masses, like Rabbi Shmuel, V'osafta de Gonecho. Is that the ideal? We cannot claim that the absolute ideal. The absolute ideal is, of course, like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, but unfortunately the Gemara says, most people are not up to it. That's not the appropriate method of living for the masses. So the Oisin Ratzayne Shal Mokim at the time of Shlomo HaMelech was what? They were still facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But, Atzadudi Mitzadud. They weren't learning Torah the whole time. Chas v'sholom. Let us not think that that's called Ein Oisin Ratzayne Shal Mokim. That's absolutely Ratzayne. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from the Harbe. But that's not the absolute ideal status. And therefore, albeit that at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kruvim were facing Ish El Ochiv, because that was referring to the time in the Midbar, says Rav Chaim Volozhin. Everybody had a Bechina of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Not so in the times of Shlomo HaMelech. Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, where the masses were being Oisek in Parnosa, that's still considered Oisin Ratzayne Shal Mokim. And that's why essentially the Kruvim are still facing each other, albeit slightly misaligned, because this is, after all, Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. And albeit, that is, after all, a fulfillment of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. But it's not the ideal, the absolute ideal of Rav Shimon ben Yehuda. That's how the Nefesh HaChaim explains. Comes along the Be'er Yosef ala Torah, and he makes now the following wonderful addition. It means, therefore, that at the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, when Klal Yisrael were receiving the Mon, and they had no worries whatsoever about Parnassa, do you know what they could be compared to? They could be compared to young children. The child in the hands of his mother who has not a care in the world. All of his needs are taken care of. That's why the Kruvim had the appearance of children. That's what we represent. We have them on. We have them on. In addition, says the Be'er Yosef, how were the Kruvim made? On top of the Oren. We mentioned though before they were not a separate piece that they were then attached. Miksha. If it's mikshah, what does that mean? They cannot be moved. They cannot be moved whatsoever. Do you know why? Because in the midbar, they could not be moved. There was no second option. There was only one option. And what is that? To be like a Rav Shimon ben Yochai. So we were immovable. Come the days of Shlomi HaMelech, says the Be'er Yosef, this now answers our original question. Why were there two sets of kruvim? And the answer is because there are two sets of people in the times of Shlomi HaMelech. The larger Kruvim, which represents the masses, where do they stand? Al Ha'aretz. Why Al Ha'aretz? Because they're working the land. Why were they much larger than the smaller Kruvim? Because they represent the Hamoin Am. How are they positioned? As Reb Chaim Volozhin said, not quite facing each other. Almost, but not quite. They were alongside the additional Kruvim that were there from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. How were they placed? Pneim ish el achiv. Why were they still being used if there was no longer Mon? And the answer is because even in the times of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, there always exists the Yechidei Skula. There always exist those who are living ala Torah v'ala Avodah. The Rav Shimon ben Yechai's of their generation. Therefore, at the time of the Mishkan, there were only one set of Kruvim. Why was there only one set? Because there's only one type of Yid. Everybody was receiving Mon. The way to be Mekayim, the Rotzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, absolutely Upneim Ish El Ochi. But whereas at the times of Shlomi HaMelech, now there were two sets. There was the main set, the larger set, which refers to the Hamoin Am, but they were standing Al Ha'aretz, because they represent those who are working. Alongside them were those who are the Yechidei Skula, the Rav Shimon ben Yechai's of their generation, who must indeed face Ish El Ochiv. They live by the Torah. And they indeed, Ad HaYom HaZeh, are Zoicha to the Mon. A magnificent Reb Chaim Volozhin with a tremendous Hosofa of the Be'er Yosef ala Torah. So let's just conclude and make perhaps one further addition. Because we all know the famous words of the Rambam at the end of Hilchas Shmita V'Yovel, where he talks about the Reb Shimon ben Yochai, as he describes them as Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi were not Oisek in Parnassah. In fact, they had no land to speak of. They didn't own land. Where was their source of Parnassah? Trumus, Maestrus, the Kohenim, the Levim, says the Rambam, the famous words, Veloi, Shevet, Levi, Bilvad. Every person can become a Levi. How so? If one decides genuinely to dedicate your life to Torah, Niskadesh, Kodesh, Kodshim. Then you become sanctified like the Kodesh Kodshim. How appropriate. What does that mean, you become sanctified like the Kodesh Kodshim? What was in the Kodesh Kodshim? The Oroin and the Kruvim Pneim Ish El Ochi. There was one other thing, by the way, in the Kodesh Kodshim. What was that? The Tzimtzenes Hamon. A little flask of Mon. And that's what the Rambam is telling you. Every person can essentially become that Rav Shimon ben Yochai, can live a life of Upneim Ish El Ochim, and then you're Zeicha to Parnassa, just like the Mon. Even if you're not really a Shevet Levi, but you can become one. I'll tell you an interesting thing. This week, in our shul, on Monday morning, we did not have a Kohen. We did not have a Kohen. Ya'amoid, and there's no Kohen. Ein Kam Kohen. So they called up a Yisrael B'mkom Kohen. Second aliyah, obviously you call somebody else up. He's not a Levi, but you call him up. At the end of davening, I overheard the person who got the second aliyah, he turned round to the gabbai and he said to him as a joke, "Oh, shkoyach for making me a Levi this morning." And I thought to myself, how appropriate. It's exactly what the Rambam says. Every person can become a Levi. Loi shevet alevi bilvad. Every person can become a Levi. If one only dedicates one's life to a life of Torah, then one lives a miraculous life. Niskadish kodesh kodshim, one zeichet in tzinseres amon. How did the Oroin fit in the Beis Hamikdash in the kodesh kodshim? The answer is it did not fit. If you work out the measurements, you will see that the Oroin could not possibly have mathematically, scientifically fit into the Kodesh Kodshim, and yet it did so. How? Because the Oroin is Me'al Darkei Hateva. Me'al Darkei Hateva. Those who live a life of Torah live a supernatural life. A supernatural life. Let us just say in conclusion that even for those who are not the Shevet Levis, who are not the Reb Shimon Ben Yochai's, but the Oroin, let's not forget, had Badim. What are the Badim there for? To support the Oroin. Those are referring Shevet Zvulun. The Machzikei Torah. Those who support Torah. Those who support Kolelim. Those who support Yeshivos. Those who support Moistas HaTorah. Then they find themselves in the Kodesh Kodshim as well. The Machzikei Torah. The Machzikei Torah also to be found in the Kodesh Kodshim. In what way are they to be equated with those who actually learn Torah? So listen to the most remarkable thing. Chazal tell us that those who support Torah will find themselves in Gan Eden with those who learn Torah. Tremendous tzchar, says the Chofetz Chaim. Why is that a tzchar? Can you imagine your whole life working, never being able to learn, and then finding yourselves alongside in Gan Eden, these huge Talmidei Chachamim? How awkward that would be, so embarrassing. I've got nothing to talk to them about. They are there in the yeshiva shel malo being mefalpel belimud. I'll have nothing to talk to them about. Says the Chofetz Chaim, it must be therefore that those who are machzik Torah, when they find themselves in Gan Eden, they will suddenly discover that they are talmidei chachomim muflogim. All the Torah that was learned as a result of their Torah support is now not just accredited to them, but actually they themselves will have that knowledge. And that, says the Chofetz Chaim, is how they can sit alongside the Talmidei Chachamim in Gan Eden. It's not an embarrassment at all, because they will also be Talmidei Chachamim all of a sudden. There was a huge shaila that circulated around Europe in Hilchos Shatnez that none of the Rabbonim could resolve. And Reb Chaim Volozhin had a dream in which a simple quote-unquote Jew came to him in a dream, and he paskened his shayla for him. And Chaim Volozhin says, "I don't recall that you were a Talmud Chacham." And he said, "When I was in Olam Hazeh, indeed I was not a Talmud. But I supported Torah learning. And if I supported Torah learning, now that I find myself in Gan Eden, I'm able to pasken shaylas, complicated shaylas, in Hilchos Shatnez." Rav Aaron Kotler once attended a levaya on Chol HaMoed. We know on Chol HaMoed, when somebody passes away, there are no hespedim. Unless he's a Talmud Chacham. Rav Aaron Kotler announced, this particular person was not a Talmud Chacham, but he spent his life supporting Torah Moistus. And now that he's passed away and he finds himself in Gan Eden, he is now a Talmud Chacham, and I'm going to give a hesped. And he gave a hesped. Negative even Shulchan Aruch, it would seem to be. Shulchan Aruch says, you cannot give a hesped on Chol HaMoed. No. It's in fitting with the Sifan Shulchan Aruch. Because the Shulchan Aruch says that a chacham befonov you can give a hesped. And Rav Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, paskens that this particular individual had the status of a Talmud Chacham. Why? Because if not the Oroin itself, but he was the Badei HaOroin. And if he was the Badei HaOroin, then absolutely he too also has connection with the Upneihem Ish El-Ochiv. So this is therefore Rabbi Yisai, the Mahalach of Rav Chaim Volozhin and the Be'er Yosef. The whilst the Mahalach for the Hamoyin Am is Vosafta de Gonecho. The Mahalach for Yechidei Sgula is to be Oisek Batoira. Upneim Ish El-Ochiv. And as the Rambam writes, everybody can attach themselves to it, either by learning Torah or by Machzik Torah. So we should be Zoicha. Together, this is the parasha of Yikhu Li Truma. I happen to be aware of several campaigns going on here in Bet Shemesh to support Torah Moistus, various kolim going on this week. We all want to have a part of that, and together we should be zeicha lahagdil Torah ulahadir.